join our church. And I want to tell you, next week we're going to baptize. I know there's one that's going to be baptized, little Andrew. And if you've never been baptized before, we get the trough out. We put ice water in it. And just kidding, it's pretty warm, actually. And matter of fact, it's hot. It was hot last time I was here to do it. So if you've never been baptized, I want you to find Heidi or Howdy. Where is Howdy? Howdy? You're way back there, and Heidi's way back there. I want you to find them and tell them, hey, it's time I get baptized. That's the first act of obedience after you give your life to Jesus. Amen? If you've never been to our church before, it's an honor to have you, and I mean that. You have to understand that God, He birthed the cowboy movement in about 1970, and you notice that other venues are picking up on it, because it's really nothing different than a lot of other churches, except we're just Western. We're country folk. A lot of times in the churches we grew up in, they wasn't comfortable if they didn't have a suit and tie on. And they just, cowboy, he won't go to church if that's the case, because his suit and tie is not a tie and that. And so we want you to feel welcome when you come to a church. We're Bible-believing, Spirit-filled. And we're going to preach that Bible from the front to the back. And you'll see a lot of signs and wonders at this church. But you'll also see people that get saved constantly at this church. It's amazing. I've never, matter of fact, growing up in some of the churches we grew up, if there were 5 or 10 people all year, we celebrated that at the end of the year. Well, there might be that many today. And so God's doing a mighty work. So I realize that people come trying to figure out what the heck a cowboy church is. And when you get here, you find out that the Spirit of God is here. And it is a pleasure that you pass several churches probably from... I mean, people drive for an hour and a half to get to this church. And they come through Austin, or they come from Belton area. They come from Marble Falls and Burnet. And a lot, obviously, from our hometown here in Liberty Hill. And it's an honor to have you, even though you passed through churches that you could have gone to. So if you don't mind, if you've never been to this church before, I just want us to welcome you the way that I think churches are to welcome people. If you don't mind, let us our church welcome you. If you'll just simply raise your hand and say, hey, I've never been here before. Go ahead. Go ahead. Don't be ashamed. Amen. Dad did it. The whole family. I ain't doing it, man. Dad got the go boy, you know, or husband. Thank y'all for coming. Honored to have you. So appreciate it so much. Now, if you didn't get an offering envelope, I want you to get ready to receive one right now. But also, before they pass those, oh, guys, go ahead and start. If you got that visitor packet and you haven't filled out that visitor card that's in it, please do right quick. It just gives us a record that you came, and we have sweet lady Doris that will call you just to welcome you and thank you for coming one time. Hope she'll leave a message if you'll leave your number and you're not there. But we want to thank you for being here, and it's a great time to ask questions about our church. If you have prayer requests, that's a good time to tell her, and we'll definitely pray. We got a heck of a team of intercessors that pray over people. All right, clap your hands for tithes and offerings. Amen. I was looking at a few things earlier in my office, and by the way, I don't know if Heidi probably knows it, but I showed Howdy as we was praying. I said, "Hey, look at this this drawer. It just slides open on its own." Which means that probably my little office is about ready to be a bonfire. And I'm moving to an office that they have built for me, just this side of the kids' church. And so it's about ready. They just need to put a door on it. And I'm very excited. For the first time, I walked around. And I can't wait till our concrete guys that's here this morning will put me some stairs so I didn't have to jump up to get in. Ed, work on that, please. I told Rick and them we need a trampoline to jump in. But they haven't cut the door out. It's cut on the other side. But, I mean, it's sheetrocked. It's textured. They're painting it. They primed it. They're painting it on, finishing it out on Monday, I believe. And then we're going to, there's like 18 doors we need to order. Four of the commodes. I mean, I'm ready for those kids to get in their classroom. Now, when I was thinking about, you know, y'all that have never been here, the Lord told me years ago not to take a salary at this church. And the reason that I believe, one of the reasons that he told me not to take a salary is so that I can actually teach about finances. And so for about 5 minutes, I have every single minister that ministers behind this podium minister on finances for about 5 minutes. And here's why. I get more calls about financial issues and problems than any other thing. Matter of fact, if you think about it, when you're stressed over finances and a job and so on, it will affect your health. And so I'm not saying that if you have a lot of money, it cause you not to be sick, because that's not true. But I'm here to tell you, God wants you to be abundantly blessed to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and to get out of debt. And we've got to start understanding the kingdom principles of what the Bible says about giving. It's God's economy. He's the one that established it. And if you'll get into God's economy through this Bible, then that scripture that we've quoted so many times, to owe no man but to love them, will come to pass in your life, and you'll owe no man. And you'll be able to be a blessing to people that need help, even in these COVID days or days around Christmas and so on. And so I'm excited that the kids' church is almost built. I think we might need just a little bit more to finish it financially, because we do everything here debt-free. But I also want to let you know that after that kids' church is built, then we're going to be believing for a covered arena to be built. And let me just tell you already, someone anonymously has given $160,000 towards that process. So that's going to be one heck of a ministry if that arena's covered and we didn't have to, not have events because of rain and so on. And so it's going to be great, but we're going to believe God for it. So I want all of this group to believe with us. Here's the scripture that the Lord showed me when we're talking about dealing with finances in our life. You have to understand that God is the provider. Do you understand that, right? Not your job. Your job is not the provider. God is the provider. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible says in verse 26, "For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof." And all that simply means is God wants us to manage this earth. And I'm here to tell you, listen to me, it's going to take finances to manage this earth. It's going to take finances to pay a truck note and a house note and all the things that we get into. The Bible talks about sowing and reaping. If you get into God's economy, I'm telling you, God will abundantly bless you. And it's all not allowing money to control you. You control it. So that's what it talks about when God wants us to manage this earth. He wants us to know that money doesn't control us. We control it. Amen? So when you give to God, then money's not in control, because you're freely saying, "God, I sow this into the kingdom of God." And I'm telling you, watch what happens when you do it with the right heart. Now, if I make you mad since I don't take a salary, I'm not giving nothing to that little preacher. Don't you dare do that. I mean, my wife's expensive. Quiet in the church, please. My wife was the first. Oh, I'll get you back, boy. No, y'all come give and protection. Pray over me in Jesus' name. Come give with a big old shout of praise. Thank you, Lord. John, would y'all be ready? Once they're clear, don't even wait on me. Just start. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Love you, Lord. Yeah. I love that. Oh, y'all should have seen what I just saw. I like it that the little boys are starting to come over to start receiving. They're going to pass out. We're going to take communion. Thank you, Lord. As they're passing that out, Mike, cut that just for a second. Let me pray over the finances, and then I'm going to tell you what I saw. Let me pray over this. Father, everything that the people gave, Father, it was given to you. And I realize that it has to be given to a church or a ministry or a minister to do the work of the gospel or to pay the bills of whatever, the church. But Father, I thank you, Lord, for their obedience to you. God bless them. Your word says in Malachi that if they'll give, and they'll give that tithe, that you'll open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessing so much that their barns can't handle the blessing. And Father, thank you, Lord, for when people give, that's how they receive. When someone sows, that then they reap. So Father, thank you, Lord, for spreading the gospel, finishing that kids' church, sir, and all the things that we're believing for to come to pass. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. And so it's so funny because the girls, this started about, 4 or 5 years ago, where some little girls started coming up here, and you have to hand them the offering, and then they'll put it in the little buckets or whatever. And now I'm seeing some little boys, but I saw a little boy on this side, and he didn't want to hand it to the girls. He just threw it in there fast, man. I like that, man. Not giving it to no girl. Oh, Jesus. You'll change. I haven't seen a check of mine in years. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I think I heard something down low right then. Like, because of that comment, I'm not going to get. You'll change, Mama. Because you love me. As they're passing out all these things, y'all understand what this bread means, right? This bread represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're about to remember. I don't have to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about Jesus, you know, and what he did by taking the Lord's Supper. I don't have to tell you the amount of pain and torture that our Jesus went through. Listen to me. Come on. Everything that Jesus went through is for the benefit of you. Man, you got to understand that. Don't miss that. Oh, don't miss that. And then the blood that this juice represents. The shed blood of Jesus. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus covers a multitude of sin. Did you hear me? Oh, thank you, Lord. There's some denominations and publishers of the Bible of different translations not very many years ago that wanted to take the blood out of the Bible because they felt like it was too ooey and a little scary about blood being shed. I'm here to tell you, without the blood, there's no redemption. Without the blood, there's no forgiveness. Because Jesus became the sacrificial lamb for you and I. We don't have to take a sheep or a goat or something to the altar. We don't have to confess our sins to some person and hopefully he takes those sins into the Holy of Holies. No, that veil was ripped. And you and I now get to go boldly to the throne of God. And we get to say, Father, I need some help. Father, I need some wisdom. Father, I just want to bless you. I want to thank you for being my God. You see, all of that was done because of the shed blood and the broken body of our Jesus over 2,000 years ago. So we remember that this morning. This bread, as we eat it, represents the New Testament church. As often as you eat this bread, always remember, the Word says, what Jesus did for you by breaking His body. That cat of nine tails slicing His body open 39 times. And He did it for all of us. So take heed in Jesus' name. He also said, this is the New Testament in my blood. And often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. So when we drink this, we're so honored that we're redeemed from the curse of the law. That again, the blood covers. Psalms 91 says that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then with our mouths we declare that God is our refuge and our fortress in Him that I trust. It was all because of the blood. You're protected. Before we drink it, I was praying earlier, and I prayed it in when we was having band practice. I prayed before we got here that before I prayed it during the band. And I thanked God that angels are charged about this property. And that COVID virus, it dies. It doesn't even come to this property. That's why we're one of the only church that's still meeting. If you want to wear a mask, you can, but if you're protected by the blood of Jesus, then why? I'm not saying we don't use wisdom, but I'm saying it's time that we stop letting a virus that the Bible says no disease or sickness shall come near our bodies. Why don't we start believing the Word of God? It was all because of what Jesus did 2,000 years ago that we're remembering. We don't have to be in fear of a virus. In your homes, you pray the same thing, that angels are charged about your home and your family, and there's protection for you in Jesus' name. And that's why we didn't have a breakout during the biggest rodeo that we've ever had here in the mid-June. And that's why we're going to continue to meet so that we have the power. I know I did a video, it might have made a couple people upset. But I was serious about, it's time that we stop living in fear, and preachers that are living in fear and not allowing their churches to meet are doing the wrong thing. It's time that we assemble, because Jesus in that assembly is where the power is. And the devil is ruining a lot of churches right now because they're scared to meet because of a virus that has a name. Ladies and gentlemen, when we drink of this juice, Jesus has a name above every single name, including COVID-19. So let's drink with that in thought and mind in Jesus' name. Father, thank you, Lord, for communion, for what it means. We're remembering the broken body and the blood that was shed. God, thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you that we don't have to be in fear. No, we're in faith, and we love you, sir. Thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, glory be to God. Let me get the little cups up and then clear the aisles because they're fixing to come. Here we go. Thank you, my friend. Here you go. Thank you, bud. God bless you. Appreciate the help. We have a fantastic, and I want to do this for all the kids to leave. Mary, where are you? Mary, just run up here just real fast. I want everybody to see you and just all the people, all the help that was here during Vacation Bible School and all the kids that came. I want you to stand up. All the help, everybody that helped. Thank you for your help. God bless you. Come on, y'all. Mary, thank you so much for organizing Vacation Bible School. That's actually where I got saved, May the 20th, 1979, is at a Vacation Bible School. And it doesn't matter I know there were a few kids. I don't care if there's only 20. There was an impact made into their lives because of what y'all did. Amen? She just told me 6 of them were born again. Amen? So, thank you. Also, we have an incredible youth group. If you're 12 on up to 18 or whatever and you're in high school, I want you to go to youth group because, listen, this is where you start learning about who you are. And they don't babysit you. They teach you the Word of God, but yet you have a lot of fun. And so junior high school, at the count of three, as well as our kids' church, big round of applause by this group. You are now dismissed out the back end. Come on, y'all. Give it to them. All right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Bye-bye. Grab your Bible real fast. I don't have a lot of time, but I want to get some word to you right now. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. As I want to get right in to this message. The title of this message, if I titled it, would be Get in Your Place. It's time that every single one of us get into our place. All of us are called in some way to do something in the kingdom of God, and I think that's the reason that we are having so many struggles in our personal lives is not just because we live in a fallen world and there's a devil who comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. It's because a lot of people haven't understood that they have a place in the kingdom of God and they've got to get into that place. No matter how old you are, no matter how much knowledge of the Word of God you have, no matter if you just got born again or you've been born again for years and years, it's time to get into your place. My brother Tim at the American Junior Rodeo Association, where my kids rodeoed, I believe it was last week, my daughter won the all-around. Seth really roped good and had a good finals, but man, they did great. But on Sunday before the awards, my brother Tim preached a message to all of that group, and I just happened to be there. And man, I got fired up. It touched my heart because he ministered in these areas right now. So I called him and I told him that I was going to preach his message. And I was going to tell the crowd at the very start that I got it from him, but after that, it's mine. But it moved me. Because too many of us don't get into our place. No, we just come to church and we become fat sheep. Not body fat, just fat sheep. And I'm here to tell you, being raised on the ranch and understanding sheep and goats, a fat sheep does not reproduce. Matter of fact, they'll get caught in the mesquite. And those old mesquite trees and those stickers will just latch onto them and just hold them. And a lot of times when we're riding pasture, we'll see a big old fat sheep just caught and he don't have the energy to get out of it. And so we got to get off our horse and free him, and then figure out how to get that one sheep that's probably good and tired back to the herd, back to the sheep and goats. If there's times when we have to figure out how to get a hold of them and get them on a horse and then ride them to where they need to be. So we're not designed to just come to church and receive and never give out. We're not designed to come to church and not fulfill the position that God has called us in. Now, I'm not saying, as you have your Bibles into Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, I'm not saying you're one of these that some are called apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We call that the fivefold ministry. Not everybody's called to do those five, but everyone is called to do something in the kingdom of God. The problem is we just haven't gotten into our place. But those five are called to do what? If you read on in verse 12 of Ephesians 4, the Bible says, for the perfecting of the saints. If you're born again, look at me, you're the saints. We're saints. We're men and women of God. We're men, sons and daughters of the Most High. We're the saints that this is talking about. So these five, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, are for the perfecting of the saints. For what? The work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in unity of the faith. We don't have a lot of unity in our country right now, do we? But we definitely need it in the faith. We don't need denominations fighting against each other. No, we need to be unified in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. Because, man, when you get knowledge of Jesus, there's no battle that you can't defeat the enemy in. Because Jesus is our authority. He is our foundation. He's our rock. He's our everything to a believer in Jesus Christ. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, you notice it talked about the body of Christ. Because we're all the body if you're born again. And if you're not, you're going to be born again today. In other words, if you stood before God, the Bible calls this the great judgment day. You have obviously left this earth. You've died of this flesh, or Jesus came back to get us. But when you stand before God, I suppose if He comes back to get you, you're already born again. So I better back up on that one. If you leave this earth before Jesus comes, though, and you stand before God, He's going to say one of two things. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, not your church and not some preacher, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, when you stand before God, the Father will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest, the joy of the Lord heaven. But as we all know, regretfully, God is not a man. He cannot lie. If you choose and you have this will, remember I preached the message last time I was here, unless you hear it, don't get me wrong, but you are in control. Everybody thinks God's in control. God is in control. No, He's not. He gave the control to you and I. If He was in control, then you would never make a bad mistake. If He was in control, this hurricane wouldn't destroy a lot of property. If He was in control, there wouldn't be a virus here. So we obviously know there's a devil. Amen. But God gave you the control because Jesus is not here anymore. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. So it's up to you and I to speak His word. Okay, so if we're the body of Christ, we all have a function to do. If we're not born again, that's when God has to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Well, obviously, I don't want Him to say that to anyone. I want you to be born again. If you're born again, you're in the body of Christ. Say amen if you understand that. Okay? All of us are not the same part, though. Some of us might be the eyes. Some of us might be the hands, the ears, and so on. Some of us might be the feet. And you're going to understand that all of us are a part of the body. And if we're a part of the body, in order for the body to function correctly, we need to do what we are designed to do. We need to get in our position so that we can be a church without spot or wrinkle. So that we can see the manifestations of the things that we're believing God for, whatever they might be. If we're operating as the body of Christ, that's why we won't have a virus outbreak in this church, praise God. Because you're doing what the body of Christ has told you to do. Now, they may be different. They may be different in some ways. So, let's figure out what that might mean. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We were just pretty close to there, taking communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And look with me at... Say amen if you're close. Say oh me. Well, 1 Corinthians 12, but there's not that many. I mean, there's only 31 scriptures, so you'll be able to find it fast. You ready? Verse 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, we have all made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. Now jump down to verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particularly. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities in the Amplified. I like what it says because it amplifies it a little bit more. And it says, so God has appointed some in the church for His own use. We already read about the some, the fivefold, the pastors and evangelists and teachers and apostles and prophets and so on. And He's appointed them, first apostles, special messengers, second prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, third teachers, then wonderful after teachers, then wonderful workers, then those with the ability to heal the sick. Do you realize that people are anointed in that one area? Praise God. Man, I want that to be me. There's helpers. There's administrators. Speakers in different unknown tongues. Uh-oh, you know Kawasaki, Mitsubishi, Hyundai? Made myself laugh on the inside. You see, there's different parts. There's a calling for you. People don't think that there's a calling in the kingdom of God for you, but yet you're part of the body. And you need to do what God has called you to do. And you don't need to back away from it. You need to do it with some confidence, praise God. The problem is people just don't know what they're called to do. They don't know that God really wants to use them in the kingdom of God. No, the devil then actually tells them, no, I don't know enough scripture. I'm not that close. I mean, I haven't spent that much time. When in all reality, it doesn't really matter. God just needs you to get into your position so that we can see the full fulfillment of the kingdom of God again manifest in these days. You know why you don't see people raised from the dead like you used to see, like Lazarus? You know why you don't see people healed miraculously by the power of God in some of our church services? It's because the people don't believe. They've gotten out of position and allowed doubt, fear, and unbelief to come in. And that has perverted the church in a lot of ways. But man, when we all stop thinking about what we did wrong because of sin and get into the position that God's called us to be in, I'm telling you, that's when you'll be able to speak to the mountain and command that mountain to be cast into the sea. That's when anger will not prevail. That's when the people that's been burnt in churches for whatever reason, even if you've served up here somehow, you'll get over that offense, praise God, and get back in your rightful position and understand that the devil was the one that tried to get you out of your position and your influence, praise God. And you need to tell him that he needs to get back under your feet. That's right. So that you can get back into the position of the blessing of God. You see, the blessing of God is constantly flowing. It just takes you and I to get into the blessing and not stand out here because of offense or because of this or that. No, we need to step right back into it, praise God. All the walls that have been built up because of the things that's happened to our lives need to get broken apart so that we can function in the kingdom of God like he needs us to function. Come on, say amen to this. This is something that we need in the kingdom of God, is to get rightly in our position. What has God called you to do? Okay. I want you to flip over real fast to Romans, to your right. Romans. My bad. To your left. Chapter 12. Now, when I gave my life to Jesus, 1979, and then at 13, I went to a Bible camp, got filled with the Holy Ghost as Baptist. That freaked him out. Because we were just a little Southern Baptist family, and then Mama took us to the Pentecostal church. Ooh, Jesus, wow. That was wild. And I didn't understand any of it. And then 13, I got fired up. And I knew I wanted to tell people about Jesus. Until I was 24, I fought it. I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't want people, you know, saying things about me, making fun of you or whatever. But finally, I submitted to the call. I said, Father, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And when I did that, doors opened everywhere. Oh, wow. I mean, God just richly, finally, I just said, okay. And I mean, the first service we ever did was at a college rodeo. And there was a lot of people. Believe it or not, there would be 200 or 300 college kids at a rodeo in the southwest region at the time, come to a church service of ours. And then a few years later, I moved to the southern region. And it was amazing how God moved in those days. Well, from that, I could literally preach somewhere every single night. And we did that for 2 solid years, me and a friend named Trey Johnson. I'd grab the guitar and sing, and he would preach. And then God separated us, and as of now, I mean, just the doors. I cancel so many invitations. I just can't get to them. And so I want to be where God has called me to be. Well, I didn't want to be a preacher, but I just finally submitted. And again, God has richly blessed us. 16 years at this church. Before that, we were at Lubbock, where we started a church 20 plus years ago, and then we turned it over to it's called Church at the Barn. I mean, it's an amazing church. There's several hundred. I left them with $100,000 and a lot of people. I mean, God told me to move here though. And so when we moved here, I'm fulfilling the position that God put me in. But I've noticed that there's a whole bunch of people in the church that aren't fulfilling. There's usually a handful of the workers that do everything in the church, and the others just come and don't think about the rest of it. No, it's time to think about it, because the blessing is you fulfilling and understanding that you're called to do something. Now, it's not going to be to get behind this podium, but what about an exhorter? Someone that just has this way about them that builds people up. Do you realize that that's your calling? I'm not just talking about someone that's a professional musically. But man, you want to talk about a calling. That's a calling and a gifting that God gave. Let's read about a little bit of it, Romans chapter 12, and look at verse 4. Now, go up to verse 2. Look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Let me read that again. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. The only way you can be transformed of anything is it's going to take some effort, right? I mean, a good football player can't just go to the pros without knowing a lot of things. I mean, the technique of a roper. How about that? Since we're cowboy. A roper, the swing of a rope. A rope that has to come over your head without hitting your head. A swing that stays open when you're swinging the thing and it doesn't figure eight. You notice a lot of people, when they want me to teach them how to rope, a lot of times they grab it so hard that it ends up figurating in their swing. Well, you can't catch anything like that. You got to figure out how to loosen your hand up and allow that rope and your arm and your wrist to make that rope do what you called it to do, what you want it to do. And then when you deliver that thing at your target, whatever it is, if it's a cow, a dog, or your wife. Well, take back the wife part. Brother, she loves me. I'm serious. It was only fun. My brother was like, oh, you did it again. Haven't you got smarter than that, right? I mean, but when you deliver it to the target, it has to deliver in the right way to catch whatever it's trying to catch. You see, a lot of times that's a part of the body, a part of the mechanics of doing something. And so here we're learning that we got to get transformed by the renewing of our mind. The Word of God is what renews our mind. That's why we got to get into it. Okay? That we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in our lives. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Look at verse 4. For we, as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we're not all called to come up here and preach. We're not all called to do some of the things in the church. Not everybody is in helps ministry, but everybody is called to do something. Verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given unto us, whether prophesy, let him prophesy. In other words, if God gives you something to say to someone, make sure it's edification and exhortation, then give it to them. I'm not saying get stupid. Did I say that mean? I'm not saying get squirrely. I'm saying if God says to go up to someone and say, hey, the Lord just wanted me to tell you that He loves you, then we need to do that, because that's part of the office or a part of the calling that God has called some of you to do. It goes on to say real fast. I've got 15 minutes. Where was I? Verse 6. Having then the gifts different according to the grace, whether it's prophecy, let him prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let me jump down to the Amplified. I like it because it explains it better. Verse 7, he whose gift is practical service, let him give himself to serving. You know, there's a lot of people that God has just equipped and called to serve. I'm telling you, those people are blessed. Man, don't fight that, guys. Man, be a blessing to people. Be a blessing in your church. Be a blessing in your family. Maybe it does get tiring to always be the one that is serving. But you know what? God has equipped you in that area. Look, but what else? Let him give himself to serving. He who teaches into teaching. There's people that are called to teach. Maybe not the fivefold teacher that gets up behind a podium, but just to teach your influence. How about kids that need to get taught some manners nowadays? Well, but you've got a family that's under attack and you have just the mom doing everything or just the dad doing everything. Usually it's the former, because the dad's always gone or something, and mom's, you know, the court system allows the kids to stay with the mom. Then the mom has to be everything, and it's gotten so out of balance. Well, then the mom gets so tired that she don't want to function, and she stops disciplining because there's not a dad in the home. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what's wrong with our country. Is the family has been under attack for way too long. But when we get the family back and the men become men, oh man, you're talking about a sturdy family. And then the discipline comes back. Not abuse, but discipline. When I look at my kid and I said, "What'd you say?" He quickly says, "Yes, sir." Why? Because I taught him. My two children are the most polite. Everybody talks about my son. He's 13. He's in Hamilton right now at a roping. They call me and say, "Man, I just want to tell you, your son is the most polite. He's constantly saying yes, sir, and no, sir." That's right. You know why? Because I beat him. I taught him that. There's something about teaching people how to operate, how to treat others. Let's go on real fast. How about verse 8? He that exhorts on exhortation. Wow. Encourages. Listen to me. There's a lot of people in this room right now that's your gifting. You're an exhorter. You're the one that is always building up. Now, I'm not saying you don't lose it at times, but usually you're the one that is the encourager. I mean, that's you. I mean, you're just an encourager. I could probably look across this room and see the ones that are the encouragers. The one that, I mean, wow, you are a blessing of God. But you know why? Because you are that. You're an encourager. And you encouraged a lot of people at the rodeo to do their job. But see, we need people like that. We need this man right here, Howdy. Wow, I love him. I mean, he started praying for me earlier, and he didn't know it, but I got tears in my eyes because this man is such a blessing. He's always up. I mean, now, don't tell me any stories of him being down, but you probably never see him down because that's just who he is. Even though he's a called minister of the gospel, he's an exhorter. He builds up. I mean, just all across this crowd, Jane, that's exactly what you are. You're an exhorter. Anybody that says anything negative to you, you don't allow it. Right? Because you're always building up. No, you can do better. You're okay, son. Get up. Yeah, but mama just broke my leg. Yeah, it's okay. You got another one. You know, there's a lot of people. Well, we need that today, y'all. We need someone saying, "Hey, you're the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. Hey, you are someone in Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Christ because He strengthens you. You can be the woman of God at school because, man, God's gifted you in that area. You are a good boy." Well, I mean, we keep telling our kids that they might not amount to anything. Remember the old saying of telling them over and over that, "Hey, you don't straighten up, you'll end up in jail, son." And then what do they do? End up in jail. Why don't we call those things that be not as Matthew says, as though they were, and start saying, "You are an awesome boy. You are an awesome girl. You are an awesome husband, and you are an awesome wife. You're an awesome mother and father." I mean, why don't we start building some people up? Because that's what we need in the kingdom of God today. We need someone saying, "Hey, you got this. Don't let that devil get a hold of you." The calls that I get over the attacks on marriages, you know what? It's time we take authority, men. It's time we take authority, women, over our marriages, that they are not going to be, if they are attacked, they're not going to succeed in the attack. We're going to stay married because divorce is not an option. We're going to get through whatever we need to get through. We're going to change if we need to change. In other words, we've got to get in the position that God has called us to get into, because we are the body of Christ. And it's time. There's too many people that are not where they need to be. So what are you called to be? Let's finish verse 8 real fast and then we'll start closing. He who exhorts encourages to his exhortation. He who contributes. Do you realize this is one you all want to be? People that God blesses financially. And the ones he blesses financially, finances does not control them. I remember, I've told this before, but it makes the point. Because there are a lot of people that God has called to be givers. I mean, they're giving. I'm not just talking financially. I'm talking, they just give. They're just always wanting to be a blessing. You want to be that person even financially though. Because those are the ones that God pours it out in. Oh man. Because he can trust them. A lady, precious lady, has been partners with our ministry for years and years. We were at the Austin Rodeo and she said, "Hey, where are you?" She knew I was up that night at the rodeo. And I said, "I'm on the north side of the Coliseum." She said, "Stay right there. I got something for you." She has a check in her hand. She said, "The Lord told me to give you this." And I've told this before, it's $75,000. You know what I first did with it? I said, "Father, is this mine or does it need to go somewhere?" Well, that's what started the buying this property, 78 acres that this church is on. Well, what if I would have kept it and went to Mexico? What if I'd have bought a new horse? Yeah, Steve's like, "Take me, brother. We need to go." No, I want to be obedient, because the givers, ooh, Jesus blesses, because God just pours it out. And then when you get that, I don't care if it's millions. You say, "Father, where do you want this to go?" You see. That's another tool, that people are just givers. And I know they're in this church because they've helped us build these buildings debt-free. All right, look. Glory be to God. He who contributes, let him do it with simplicity and liberally. He who gives aid and superintends, do it with zeal and singleness of mind. He who does acts of mercy with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. And then it goes on, talks about love. Here's the point of this message, y'all. All body parts are interdependent. The heart needs the lungs. The lungs needs the windpipe. The windpipe needs the mouth and the nose. The stomach could not operate without the throat, the liver, the kidneys, the intestines, the colon. Each part of the body depends on each other to function properly. So I'm saying and submitting this morning that it's time to get into your position. It's time to figure out what God has gifted you with. If it is the administration part of a church, then get into it. Figure out how you can be a blessing. If it is helps ministry, that's why those ushers are out doing things for this church. And some of them are even outside watching, because there's the security of this church. Trust me, they're packing. I mean, we're gonna be protected. They're all trained, by the way, so you won't get shot just because they're shooting a bad guy. There's a security team. I mean, there's so many things that we are called to do, but you might just be called as the encourager. You might be the ones that stand at the door and say, hey, it's an honor to have you this morning. And God might give you some prophetic things. You might be called to just, hey, I'm just sensing some things going wrong. It's kind of like out there in rodeo, man. Me and Rusty understand this. There's times when you just don't do the way you want to do. You don't win. Well, you know what I need when I don't win? Someone saying, hey, you're a winner. You're a winner. Because I'm here to tell you, I've been about 10 rodeos and I've won zero. Thank you. I've never gone that many rodeos without winning. Usually I've already won 20 or 30,000 at this point. I've won 6. Do you really think that's going to affect me in my call, though? No, but I need someone like Mama going, don't worry about it. You'll do good. You'll make it. Stop crying. But how many of you know I want to cry, though? Because I'm used to succeeding in this one area of roping. I tied one the other day to win third, and the stupid steer kicked loose in 3 seconds, and they had to stay tied 5 or 6. I wanted to make him fajita meat. How dare you, steer? Well, I didn't tie him tight enough. I needed to tie him tighter, you know. But do you really think that that's going to determine my call? Am I going to lay down and give up? Am I going to stay discouraged because I'm not succeeding in something that really doesn't mean anything in the kingdom of God? No, sir. But even as a preacher, I need some of you people with the exhortation gift to just say, hey, you're a winner, man. You can do it. Come on, you can do all things through Christ. I might just need the freedom to know the people that are in church tending to all the things behind the scenes, the cleaning and all the things that operate, and I just have that peace of knowing they're just doing their job. They're just fulfilling their call. I don't want to worry about this church not having the finances to finish that kid's church. Nope. I'm just going to trust God that people will get into their calling, their position of givers, and let God bless them. You see, it's time to get into your position. So the question this morning as we close is, what are you called to do? Because see, you need to think about it right now. You need to know that you are called because you are a part of the body of Christ. And God has equipped you and given you some influence and some gifting. What is it? Probably more than you know, you already know. I mean, you might be fighting it, but probably you know. I'm not talking about having the desire, God bless me financially. Come on, pour it in so I can pay for the pickup truck. No, that's a good desire. You want that. But I'm talking about the ones that God pours it in to give out to someone. And it might be someone beside you. That person needs some help. They need some new tires. And I'm not saying take advantage of. I'm talking about, hey, I want to be a blessing. You see, we need that in the kingdom of God. Why? Because we're the body. We need to function according to the body of Christ. And the reason that the church is not prevailing, this one is, but as a whole, look at Austin. They're not even meeting. Hundreds and thousands of churches not assembling. They're having to do it over a camera. I'm here to tell you, you won't stay focused behind the camera in your pajamas. Mm-mm. Not when the dog starts attacking the cat. But when you assemble like we're assembling right now, oh, Jesus, there's power. Power. So I say in Jesus' name, get into your position. I want to open up this altar real fast, and we're almost done. Before I do, bow your head and close your eyes. Everybody in this place, confess this prayer. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart, and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I'm born again. Every sin I've committed is forgiven because Jesus was raised from the dead. And I believe it. I'm born again going to heaven when I leave this earth. And thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord, for being my Savior, for being my friend. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you never asked Jesus to come into your life, you didn't know if you died, if you'd go to heaven or if you'd go to hell. But because of what you just prayed, Jesus is now your Lord and you're going to heaven when you leave this earth. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your life to Jesus this morning and you meant it, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you come to the front. Right where you're sitting or where you're standing or where you're watching, if you just gave your life to Jesus and you're in this building, when I say three, I want you to raise your hand up and say, God, I meant that prayer and I gave my life to your son Jesus this morning. And then just put your hand right back down. You ready? I want you to do it with boldness. Don't you be ashamed of what Jesus did for you. Don't be ashamed of receiving Him as Lord. If you prayed it, get that hand up at three. Ready? One, with boldness. Two, three, go. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. I want you to make sure you get a Bible. If you raise your hand, make sure you get a Bible. If you just looked up, they mixed up, it's not a big deal. Just get a Bible. Is there anyone else? If you just gave your life to Jesus, make sure we see you. I want to give you a Bible. All right, look at me. It's time that we get in the body of Christ because that means that everybody in this place is born again. You might have just got born again this morning, or you've been born again for a while. It does not matter. It's time to get into your gifting. And I want you to do it right now. If you need help and prayer, you can leave that music on, Mike, if you want to. But you don't know what God's gifted you to do. I want you to get out of your seat and come right here and let me pray for you. We won't take long and then we'll leave. Just come on. Anybody, you want to do things for God, but you just don't know what right now. Come on down. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, don't be afraid. Don't be super spiritual. If you don't know your calling in the church, and maybe it's already been revealed to you, I want you to come down here and let me pray for you right now. If you're afraid to come down, I want you to stick your hand over your heart. Stick your hand over your heart, y'all. Father, in Jesus' name, the giftings that you've gifted these precious people with, I thank you, Lord, that it would come out now in Jesus' name. That they would know exactly what they're called to do, they're gifted to do. Father, that the devil would not try to trick them, lie to them. No, what you're called to do comes out now in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, you just keep coming down. If God puts it on your heart, get down here. That's where faith starts. In Jesus' name, bring out that gifting. God wants to. I see it on you. Glory be to God. Father, thank you, Lord. Bring out the gifting. Doesn't matter how much knowledge one has, or how much they do have. Bring out that gifting. Put him in that position that you called him to be in. And thank you, Lord, for that peace in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Thank you for the gifting. Now in Jesus' name, come forth. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Now, take a deep breath and say, I receive that. Amen. You guys, y'all can go ahead back. Thank you. Listen to me. Get in your position. especially in these days. We're in the end of the end times. Don't let that scare you. We're in the end. Don't watch the news. Oh, you'll be depressed. But understand it's the end times. I say in Jesus' name again, in agreement with this group, that that virus dies in Jesus' name. It will not prevail. But the problem is the church hadn't stepped into their position. Now we just backed up. The church is actually, that's why so many are coming to this church, because their churches weren't meeting. They started coming to a drive-in service. Get in your position, because God might, once they come back, He might say, you need to get back there to get those people fired back up. Why? Well, because we're the body. We're not in competition with another. I hope you stay here. But if you're not called here, you need to go. All right, last thing we're going to do before we're dismissed is, if you prayed about it and you want to join this church, some people join it on the first visit. Some people take a little time to pray about it. But if you want to join this church, come down right now and let me pray for you. Just come on. You've never joined. You've never been a part of this church, but you want to right now. Come on down, and we want to pray for you right now. Glory be to God. We don't do a big thing about joining, but you just have never joined, and you just believe this is where God has planted you. I always say where God plants you is where you'll grow. So if that's you, just come here right now. Let me pray with you. Amen. Glory be to God. It's an honor. It's an honor to have you. Now, growing up, at our churches, they voted you in. All in favor, say aye. We don't do that, because I was always afraid they'd say no to my family. I always figured, too, if they voted you in, they can vote you out. You can never be voted out, okay? It's an honor. I don't care if it's the first time you came. It's an honor to have you. Now, we make a covenant at this church. It's not a big deal about of joining, as it is making a covenant, because that's a promise, right? And the promise is that we're going to pray for you. We're going to counsel you. We're going to preach that word from the front to the back. Amen? The covenant what we want you to make with us is come to church. Fulfill. Get into a position that God's called you in. I don't know what it might be, but whatever the gifting is, allow it to come forth in Jesus' name. Amen? It's an honor. It's an honor to have ministers, been preaching the gospel for so many years, come and want to be a part of this church. Because he's like a dad to me, since my dad's in heaven. By the way, Dad, I need some money. I'm kidding. I need you to call me a little bit more and kind of do a little swift kick in the booty, please. Father, it's a pleasure to have this family. We receive them. Use them, sir, in Jesus' name. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the Felts. They've been in the ministry, gosh, so long. God bless them. We receive them as a part of this church in Jesus' name. God bless this precious girl. God, we need more of you. We need more youth that want to be a part of growing the biggest youth group that is excited about Jesus, not just being seen. God, thank you. We receive you. Father, thank you for this precious woman. And we just thank you, Lord, that she's an influence to all the people she's around because of you, sir. And Father, just people are attracted to her because of who she is in Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you for this precious man of God. Anybody that has the gift of healing, come here right now. Come here. Come on. Just get up here. It doesn't matter who it is. Come on. I want you to lay hands on this man's back. And I command it to be healed. Just come here. Lay hands. You got a gift of healing? Get your hands on this man. Father, first of all, I pray over this man's back. And everyone that has the gift of healing, I command this back from the top of his head to the soles of his feet to be lined up with the Word of God and be healed. Amen?
Amen.
And Father, we also receive them as a part of this church. Y'all just pray for them however you feel led. We thank you, Lord, for what they mean to me and my family and this church. Thank you, sir, as we receive them as a member of this church. Y'all just pray for them. Father, thank you. Thank you for this family. We receive them by faith as members of this church in Jesus' name. Let me have your hand. Father, I just receive this family as a part of this church. Now use them abundantly. Thank you, Lord, for their giftings and callings in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, y'all turn around. All of y'all stand up if you don't mind. Y'all just don't leave. Y'all stay right here that just joined. Because I want the body, the members to come by. Now listen to me. Which way did I start last time? Okay. So it's this. Ricky's like, hey, it was down there. You start. All right, class. Look at me. Y'all come around. If you can, come. Don't tell them any stories. Just say, hey, honored to meet you, Corey Ross, you know, so and so. Don't tell them those stories. It takes forever. I want you to meet new people that are members of this church right now. Amen. So just come and welcome. Meet them. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful time this morning. And we just praise you for all the things that you're doing here at this church. And all the ones that gave their lives to you, I thank you, Lord, that you would just cause them to know and want to experience all of you. To get into the position that you've called them to be in the body of Christ. It's a pleasure that we have new family members in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father, as the Bible says, when we leave this place, you do not stay here. Because the Bible says you never leave us or forsake us. So you get to go with us right now. So Father, thank you. Thank you for all you're doing in this church. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed. Love you.